Thank you. Yes, what I said about the leadership team is that at least I'm very pleased that at least Ben is older than one of my children. I've called this Celebrate the Difference because it's all about different parts of the body, different giftings, and how as one you get far more than the individual parts. So could we go on to the next one, Andy? I'll let you drive. I can't. Thank you. We lost a bit off the end there. Right, I'll read it out. So this is from Romans 3 to 5, which says, so I turn the page. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Then straight after that, we'll see if this one fits on. This is Romans 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So, we're looking at differences. Dave Vann last week spoke about the living sacrifices and gave us that example of the hokey cokey where we need to put our whole selves in, which was admirably picked up by the worship band today. Rather strenuous workout for us. And the first 40 acts of generosity, how many people are doing that out of interest? You get an email each day. Can I have a quick show of hands? Are many people doing it? A few of you. Well, the very first one was just that. It was to look at what gifts you had and what stopped you fulfilling them. So we're going to cover that today. Right, so if you think about the body, us as part of the body, I mean, we have, say, an ear that you can hear. It's not very good at moving around, but it hears well. A leg that helps you move, but doesn't hear too well. But we need all parts of the body for a human to work. I did wonder about getting you to call out names of the body, but then I thought of my two grandsons, and I thought better of that idea, what they might call out. So we'll skip round that one. So what part of the body are you? Give it some thought. How do you fit in? What role do you play? And how do you know what your role is? Over the years, I've tried many roles in the church. That's the next one. Next one, thank you. Some of the roles that I've fulfilled in River. Children's worker. I did that very soon after joining, which was 30 years ago. Yes, it's 30 years this year that I've made a commitment from being a very non-Christian, quite anti, to becoming a fully-fledged Christian, wanted to be fully in or fully out, and I'm now fully in. And it was really good being a children's worker, actually. So any of you who are fairly new in the faith, I definitely recommend that, because it's a great way of learning your Bible, so you're not in front of seven-year-olds who know it a lot better than you are. Tea maker, I make a good cup of tea, though I say it myself. I haven't done that recently. Street evangelist, well, I'll do a bit of that on and off. PA helper, I've humped these great, horrible, heavy things around a bit. Sunday meeting leader, done that a bit. Chair putter outer, we used to have to put out chairs years ago. I've done that. Small group leader, worship group member, leadership team member. Well, the point is they're all different roles, but not one of them is better or more important than the others. You know, we're all called to do something. And my encouragement to you would be to just try something out. Yes, I was more suited to some of them. Some were more enjoyable and some were more successful than others. But there's always something from the experience. Try things out. Get involved. Volunteer. What do you enjoy doing? I had this sort of strange idea at first that when you became a Christian, you know, God was only going to ask you to do things that are really hard and you didn't like at all. I don't know where I got that idea from. But I now realise he actually enjoys us. He loves us like a father. And he's not going to ask us to do things we really, really hate. Some of the things, it's hard work. But if you enjoy something, it's probably what he's calling you to do. What next slide, please, Andy. The first verse we read out talks about humility. So alone we can do very little. We need each other as part of a whole family. We're different but equal. Beware of false modesty. You know, someone who says, well, I can't, I'm not good enough to do that. It's almost a form of pride. Now, don't say you can't do it if you really can. We do owe it to each other that what gifts we have got that we should actually bring forward to the body. Do we disqualify ourselves by saying, oh, I don't think I can do that, I'm not good enough? Sins of omission. Everyone understand what I mean by that? Sins of commission are like deadly sins, what you do wrong. But Jesus was quite tough on sins of omission, things that we could do but we don't do. You know, to give to the poor, to feed the hungry, all that sort of thing, are sins of omission that most of us in this room have a capability of doing, but I and we don't always do. I don't know, anyone know Johnny Barr from years ago? He used to be an East End preacher and came to us a few times. He told a story about someone in his church called Peter, and they voted him the most humble man in the church. And they printed up a badge, gave it to him. They had to take it away the following week because he wore it. In the same way, if I asked you to put up your hands if you're humble, well, I wouldn't recommend putting your hands up. So it's a tricky thing, isn't it? We shouldn't think of ourselves as better than others, but also we shouldn't think of ourselves as worse or lesser than others. Now, we are called to be equal. Different but equal. Jesus spoke of sins of omission with example of the rich young ruler that came to him. He said he'd fulfilled all the commandments. And Jesus said, well, give away all you own. You're a rich man. But he couldn't do that because that richness had a hold on him. It was too strong. For us, it might be a challenge to use time more productively. I.e., well, for example, watching too much TV. Anyone else claim that one? Watching lots of rugby yesterday. What a waste of time that was. Yeah. Yeah, if we try something and it doesn't work out, then he'll always forgive us. Sometimes we find it hard to forgive ourselves and become sort of stuck and immobile. I mean, it's a real sort of Jewish basis of the religion. You know, we are made perfect in Christ, but there's a little bit of work that can be done as well. So we're perfect and not perfect at the same time. So, I mean, I could list all the reasons I'm not perfect, but your dinners will all be burnt by the time I'd finished. Then if I handed the mic to my wife, it'd definitely be burnt. But I think that's one thing I have learned over 30 years. Being more like Christ is being more forgiving of myself. So if I just dwell on all the things that I do wrong, well, I'll never do anything because there's always something I'm doing wrong. But if I concentrate on, you know, his love for me and my love for him, you know, he's not going to worry too much about my misdemeanors because he's going to forgive me because I'm made perfect already. But I can disqualify myself by coming to a full stop by thinking, oh, no, I can't do that. It'll be another 10 years before I can do that. And, you know, we have an enemy that will whisper that in our ear all the time. You know, call yourself a Christian. Look what you did. Who did you do shout at in the car? That's another one. I'll name it after that one. But, you know, God forgives me. But it doesn't mean we don't need to change. We want to change as well. And we're tempted to judge some functions as more important than others and give them higher status. But it doesn't really work like that. Our gifts are designed to create an effective whole. Our identity is knowing who Jesus is, not in what we do. We are different, so let's celebrate the differences. So let's have a quick run through the second part of that message. So can we have the next one, please? Those different gifts, which we read out earlier. Actually, if you nip on to the next slide, please, Andy. So this is just going to a little bit of more detail on these. I mean, the time I've got available, I can't go very deep in any of this. So I think these gifts are quite well known by many people. So if your gift is prophesying, and prophesy in accordance with your faith, so hearing from God and passing the message on through individual words or preaching. If serving or ministry, some versions call it ministry, but serving is probably a more understandable term. Administrative practical service in the church. Acts 6:3, where there's problems with feeding some of the people, and they given roles to people to oversee this. And it included Stephen, who had to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and he certainly was that. Was his preaching and ended up with a lot of miracles to his name. And teaching, then teach. Well, that can be in small groups, large presentations, one-to-one sessions. Next one, please, Andy. Encouraging. Some people have that real gift of how to encourage others. I was thinking, I'm going to embarrass somebody now. I sort of occasionally have a chat to Jan. And try and encourage her, but actually I end up being more encouraged myself each time. She always encourages me. So it's really good. Some people just do it naturally. Giving, and give generously. And it's a great gift if you have it, to be able to give and just not count the cost. And some people just seem to be able to do that. If it's to lead, do it diligently. Not just in a situation like church, but in the head of the family or be a role model where you are is a form of leading. So if you have that situation, if you're in a family and you need to be a role model for that family. Showing mercy and do it cheerfully. Some people have a special gift for caring. I mean, when we did that collection for that Dave Van brought to us and Syria. Stuff for Syria, yeah. I was amazed by that everyone really rallied around. And that, you know, a lot of people did come forward that did have that gift. And next one, please, Andy. Yeah, so the grace of God gives different gifts of equal standing, not as a hierarchy, but to be used in humble service. So what is your gift? And I'd just like you just to take a couple of minutes, just with the person next to you, just to decide what your gift is, if you know. Tell the person what you think your gift is and ask them what theirs is. Literally, just going to give you a couple of minutes to do this. Any revelations anywhere? Are you all chatting well anyway? Right, can we come back again then, please? I'd just like to pray over that. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I just thank you that we don't always see what giftings we have. And those around us can sometimes see more than we can see ourselves. So I just ask, Lord, that you just speak to each person here this morning and just give revelation of what their giftings are and put people around them that will encourage them in that. Amen. Andy, next one, please. Right. I'm just going to one of those gifts that we just looked at. And the one that really appeals to me, which is the prophetic. I've always enjoyed this. I've always been inclined towards it. But it was when I did the Ignite course in 2014, it really sort of switched me on. And there's plenty of opportunities to exercise those gifts on the course. With Jan, particularly, and Jean, with the stuff that Jean's got out here now, encouraging us. And had many opportunities there, and also then we went on the Ignite trip to Uganda, and I had the opportunity to deliver some teaching on the prophetic that Jan had written, And as part of that, I had opportunities to give individual prophetic words out in Uganda. And that was scary when you're put on the spot, but it was also really encouraging when, you know, people acknowledge what the words are. And I try to encourage myself in that gift through study and sharing with others. And then last summer we had the opportunity to take a pitch at the Maidenhead Carnival 2016. How many people were involved in that prayer session? I know a lot of you were. Quite a lot. Oh, I thought it was more than that. You're getting weary. Your hands aren't going up very high. But a lot of people were involved with that. And over 2 days in the summer of last year, we prayed for around about 100 people. Quite a lot with in-depth prayers. I'd like to do it again this year. 22nd, 23rd. If you're interested in doing that sort of thing, do let me know. Come and have a chat. I shall be after you anyway. But it's a chance just to pray and encourage people in the town. We had lots of people from different faiths and no faith came up to us, and we just could give them an encouraging word from God. Yeah, also, not just in the prophetic, but also what you see around you, you see people doing, is important. I mean, I know a few people here. It's quite difficult to give prophetic words when you know most of the people. But just to encourage you for things that you see, like Fran, I know, knits for new babies. And, well, I just thought of you, Fran, because one of Jean's little symbols is a knitting yarn. And there are lots of people in here that do all sorts of unseen, hidden little helps for other people. And it's really important. In fact, just take a moment just to think of things that people do for you. And just consider that just for a moment. Probably unseen. Now think of something you can do for somebody else. Only has to be small. Okay. There's an action to be taken later. Yeah, we need to understand our gifts shouldn't be used for personal gain. I never asked for money for the prophetic gifts, although someone did offer some, but we declined. Paul is encouraging us to do our best at what we do best. It'll not work if we try and copy someone else. Now, however much we admire them, if I tried to stand up in the style of Kerry, say, this wouldn't work, I just can't wear the dresses. We must know ourselves. You know, you have to know who you are. And our identity is, who said, thank goodness? Our identity is knowing who Jesus is, not in what we do. So if you're sure of what your gifting is and exercise it, what are you doing about it to encourage yourself in that gifting? Are you getting together with other people? Are you studying, reading? You need to do something about it. Thank you. So in conclusion then, we have one body, many parts. We need to do what we do in a humble way. We need each other. We're all equally important. We all have gifts to share. And we owe it to the other believers to share our gift. Now, I just sense there are people here who've thinking, well, I've tried to share, I've tried to get involved with this before, but it doesn't seem to work out. They didn't want me. It could have been through misunderstanding or where valid reasons weren't explained properly. And if that was you, I'd just like to pray for you now, if you feel like you've been snubbed in some way. So I think there are more than one here. So let's close our eyes a moment and I'll just pray over you. You don't have to put your hand up or anything. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I just pray for anyone who feels snubbed or rejected through any misunderstanding or for whatever reason, where they've tried to offer their service or they feel they have, and maybe it's not been clear, but they've felt rejected. And just pray that their heart will be healed, Lord Jesus. Amen. So if you have a gift, you owe it to the other believers to use it. Who is encouraging your giftings? And who are you encouraging in their giftings? Jesus told the parable of the talents, where each person had talents given to them at different levels. But they were all to be used for the master. Just hiding them away was definitely not a good thing to do. And we're all different. We have different gifts and perform different functions. The church becomes a vibrant community only when we're all using our gifts for the benefit of all. So let's celebrate our differences. There's a little bit of takeaway there. So those bottom three are things I'd like you to think about. What is your gifting? Ask God and friends around you. And who is encouraging you in that gift? And who are you encouraging? And going back, who's done unseen acts of kindness for you? And not now, but later. You know, who you may have said thank you at the time, but if you haven't said what you consider to be a proper thank you, just seek them out or drop them a note through an email or something, just to say thank you. And think once again, have you got any little acts of kindness you can do to others? Is there something you can offer that might encourage us all to be one big family? Thank you.